The last couple times that I've preached, we've been doing a series of messages on the theme of taking control of your stress. And so this morning I want to continue on with that series. If you came to Jesus thinking that you would never have any more problems in your life, that you would live on Easy Street enjoying rainbows and lollipops, you're in for a rude awakening if you haven't already had one. Jesus never promised us a stress-free life. In fact, Jesus said the opposite. He said, "I have told you these things so that you can have peace because of me. In this world, you will have trouble. But be encouraged. I have won the battle over the world." And so Jesus told us clearly that there would be trouble in this world. This word trouble in the Greek language, actually one of the meanings of this word is stress. So Jesus says to us, in this world, you're going to have stress. But then he tells us to be encouraged because he has won the battle over the world. In other words, Jesus is telling us, despite the fact that stress is a part of our lives, that there's nothing that we can do to get around it, we can still live victorious in this life, in spite of our stress, because of who Jesus is and the victory that he's won for us. Yes, stress is a part of life, but it does not have to control us. But the sad truth is that there are many people who are living under a heavy burden of stress. They're living under a great deal of pressure, and they're not doing so well with it. Indeed, I can say in my own life, there are times when I don't handle it very well. And when stress is out of control, so many things are affected in our life. Our health is affected by our ability to cope with stress. Our relationships are affected. Our ability to really succeed in life has a lot to do with how we manage stress. And so we find that many people are struggling just to survive, just to get through. But I don't believe that that's God's plan for our lives. God wants us to do more than just survive. I believe that God wants us to thrive in this world. He wants us to rise above and live the abundant life that he's called us to. And so I believe if we're going to do that, then we have to learn how to take control of our stress, and we have to learn how to deal with it properly. And so in the first couple of messages in the series, we've discussed two ways that we can take control of our stress. We began by looking at the fact that we need to believe and understand that God has grace for us in every situation that we face. No matter what you're going through, God's grace is sufficient for you and it's available for you. Understanding this fact, as we learned, was the secret to Paul's success. Paul was a man who faced a great deal of pressure, a great deal of stress in his life, and we looked at his life and we discovered that Paul had this revelation that when he was weak, he was strong, that God's grace was sufficient for him, even in his times of weakness. And so when you know this, when you know that no matter what you're going through, that God's grace is available to get you through. If you know that and are convinced of that, you can be filled with peace and you can have hope in every situation. This point is the foundation for taking control of your stress. When you understand it and believe it, it changes everything. The second thing that we looked at a couple of weeks ago was that we have to develop a proper perspective. When it comes to dealing with stress, perspective is everything. When we lose perspective in the situations that we face, stress quickly gets out of hand. And in that point, we look closely at how our ability to have the right perspective is impacted by two main sources. And those two sources were godly people that we can trust and our own personal relationship with Jesus. I'm not going to say anything more about those points today just because of time. Again, if you missed either one of those two messages, all our sermons are available on our website, harvestcity.ca. Today, I want to look at one other way that we can begin to take control of our stress. And this is the point I want to emphasize this morning. Don't lose your joy. If you're going to take control of your stress, don't lose your joy. I want to read these words of Jesus again from John 16, but I want to read it from the Amplified Version. The Amplified Version, for those of you who don't know, is my mother's favorite version of the Bible. The Amplified takes the simple things of the Bible and it gives us about 50 more words to make it even more clear. It kind of expounds on what's there. But I want to read this verse from the Amplified Bible. It says, Jesus said, I've told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace. In this world you have tribulation and distress and suffering, but be courageous, be confident, be undaunted, be filled with joy. I have overcome the world. My conquest is accomplished, my victory abiding. I don't know about you, but when I think about being under great pressure, when I think about the times in my life where I'm really under stress or have felt stressed out, being filled with joy is usually the opposite of how I feel. Being filled with fear, being filled with panic, being filled with anxiety, maybe. But joy? That doesn't seem to make any sense. It reminds me of some of the words that the Apostle James wrote in James chapter 1, verse 2. He said, Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. What? When trouble comes my way, I'm more prone to think of it as an opportunity to lose sleep, an opportunity to get angry, an opportunity to worry, but definitely not as an opportunity for great joy. I would have to think that those who know me well and can see that I'm under great pressure might also think of this as a great opportunity to give me some space, some alone time. I don't know about you, but most people that I know who are under stress are not a lot of fun to be around. Joy and stress seem to me to be polar opposites. In fact, when I'm around stressed out people, what brings me the most joy is when I can figure out a way to leave them alone and get away from them. Have you discovered that? That's when joy comes. How do I avoid these people? They're stressing me out. It's time to go golfing. Usually a lack of joy is synonymous with stress. Would you agree with that? In fact, I would suggest to you that a lack of joy is a great indicator that stress is taking control of you instead of you taking control of your stress. But here in these verses, a picture that is different is painted. Indeed, it is one that seems to be so unnatural. And that's because it is. Our natural reaction in stressed out times is to become miserable people that overreact to everything and that bite the heads off of anyone who gets within range of our teeth. That's what's natural. It's the reason why stressed out people don't do so well in relationships. But the message of these verses is that pressure and stress do not need to and do not have to control us in this way. For the Christian whose hope is in Jesus, the victorious one, there is an ability to rest in the storms, to laugh in the trials of life, and to find joy in the most painful of circumstances. I love how this verse says, my conquest is accomplished, my victory abiding. Jesus has defeated our enemy, the devil. Jesus is in total control. And as a result, we are no longer slaves to the world. We don't have to think the way the world thinks. We have a hope that goes beyond the grave. We have a hope that does not rest in the temporal. We have access to the presence of God anytime we want, and in His presence is fullness of joy. Christ's conquest has been accomplished, and His victory is abiding. That means to me that it is always available. It's always available. He's always in victory. And if we abide in Him, then we can always live in victory as well. When others are stressed, we can know peace. When others are floundering in despair, we can still have joy because our joy is deeper than our situations. And it reaches into eternity, where the victorious Son of God sits in victory. Now, living in this joy is not natural, as I have mentioned, but it is possible. It's possible. Jesus told His disciples, be encouraged, or be of good cheer, or be filled with joy. In this world, you're going to have trouble, but be filled with joy. Cheer up. Be encouraged. That statement, be of good cheer, be filled with joy, is a statement that requires intentionality. It requires a decision. It's a decision that's rooted in the right perspective that we've been talking about. It's based on the understanding that God's grace is sufficient. But it's a decision that we make where we determine the devil is not going to steal my joy. He's not going to steal my joy. It's an attitude that says, even in the midst of stress, I will be filled with joy and I will find my joy in the Lord. You see, I believe that joy is a decision that we make. It's a decision. James said, when trials come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Great trials do provide opportunities. They provide opportunities for bitterness, for anger, for confusion, but they also provide the opportunity for great joy. That opportunity is there. Joy is possible. But you have to seize the opportunity. If you do not intentionally take it, you will lose it by default. How could James say that trials were a great opportunity for joy? James could say it because James was once again basing this joy on something beyond the temporary and something beyond the present. He went on to say, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. I love how Aubrey last week brought out that endurance here is not just talking about hanging in there. Somehow I'm going to endure this thing. I've just got to hang in there and get through it. As a coach, I want my players to develop endurance. If my players have endurance, they will be able to shoot the ball in the fourth quarter as effectively as the first quarter. Some people can come out of the gates hot. They can make a lot of shots early, but when they lose their legs, suddenly they can't find the basket anymore. I've discovered that as a basketball coach. And so if they develop endurance, they can shoot at the end of the game when it's most important as well as they could at the beginning. That's endurance. Endurance is a fantastic thing. We all want it. Those without endurance peter out in the end. But those whose endurance has been developed through pressure and effort and sweat and tears are the ones that are still growing, going strong in the end. Those with endurance can always be counted on when it matters the most. And that's what the trials of life provide for us, an opportunity to develop endurance. And so James is looking at the testing of our faith, he's looking at the trials of life through these eyes. He's looking through the eyes of an overcomer. He's looking through the eyes of one who is seated with Christ in heavenly places. He's looking through the eyes of one who is living with an eternal purpose that far surpasses temporal comfort. And so as he looks through these eyes at the tests and the trials of life, he sees an incredible opportunity for growth. He sees an opportunity for great joy. Church, I want to challenge you that in the midst of the trials and testing, in the midst of the pressures and stresses of this life, I want to challenge you to be people that look for joy in the journey. Look for it. Psalm 37 verse 4 says this, "Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires." Take delight. It's an action that's required. Intentionality is again required here. If you don't take delight, the pressures of life will take away your delight. I promise you. You have to take it. I remember early on in my ministry life, I felt like life was passing me by. I was teaching school, and I had bigger visions than that, bigger dreams of doing things for God beyond that. And I was in this sort of this season in my life where I would refer to it as like the Joseph experience, where I felt like God had forgotten about me, where I felt like I thought my destiny was to go this way and I seemed to be going this way. It was a time of confusion. And I remember looking around at some of my friends, others my age, and who were doing great things for God, and it seemed like they were just leaving me in the dust, and I just feeling so stressed out by that, feeling like I was missing my calling and must have missed an intersection somewhere in my life, and it was a time of confusion. And I remember in those days having several conversations, excuse me, with my father about it all and complaining that I was left behind and wondering if God was ever going to do anything in my life. And I remember my dad telling me one day, he said, "Joel, don't get destination sickness. Enjoy the journey. Trust God. He's going to get you there, but enjoy the journey. Enjoy the season that God has you in right now. Look for joy in the journey. There's joy in the journey if you look for it. There's joy that can be found if you look for it, if you don't get destination sickness." Church, the Bible says that if we trust in the Lord with all our hearts, if we don't lean on our own understanding, if we acknowledge him in all our ways, he will direct our steps. Is that not true? There is a promise that if we will do those things, if we will humble ourselves before God, acknowledge him, that he will direct our steps. And so if the Lord is in control of my life, if the Lord is truly directing my steps, whether I understand everything that's happening or not in my life, I should be able to rest and I should be able to find joy along the way. I should be able to find joy in every season. It's a promise. Jesus modeled it for us. Remember, though he was the Son of God, he was also filled with human emotions, just like you and me. The night of his betrayal was a night of great stress. It was a night of great pressure. In fact, the Bible tells us that in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was saying, "God, if there's any other way, Father, if there's any other way." He was sweating what appeared to be drops of blood. I mean, he was in torment. It was a stressful time. How was Jesus able to go through it? I tell you, it was because he looked for joy on the journey. Hebrews 12 verse 2 says this, "We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, He endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and now he is seated in place of honor beside God's throne. How is Jesus able to endure? How is Jesus able to go through this stressful time in his life and push all the way through? I tell you, it's because he was looking for joy on the journey. And he saw it in you and in me, our salvation. He saw it. He saw the joy that was available to him. And he pushed through. Church, if the stress of life has caused you to lose your joy, then I want to challenge you, you need to go find it. Nehemiah says that it's the joy of the Lord that's our strength. If you're getting your butt kicked in life, you need to find joy. You need to take delight in the Lord. You need to be filled with joy. You need to make that decision. I'm going to find joy in the journey because it's joy that will bring you strength. When joy is found, strength to endure is found. When joy is found, stress loses its control. Paul, from a jail cell, wrote these words to us. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Paul underlines it for us. He says it in other books that he written. Always be full of joy in the Lord. Paul managed his stress better than anybody. How did he do it? He made a decision to delight himself in the Lord. Paul made a special emphasis here because he understood that joy leads to living an overcoming life. In the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3, this whole attitude is summarized for us. The attitude that allows us to flourish in times of stress. It says this, even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord! Exclamation point. I'm going to make a decision. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, able to tread upon the heights. A decision was made. Church, the greatest example I've ever seen of this point happened right here in this church. In one of the most tragic times that I've had as a pastor. Kate Ludwig prayed this morning over summer. Kate is an amazing woman, one of our ministry partners, her and her husband, working on the streets of Regina with the Love Lives Here bus. Some of you are new to our church and probably don't know a lot of the story. And I'm not going to take the time to go through it all with you this morning. But Kate and Alden lost their daughter a few years ago in a tragic accident. Devastating. And I remember the day that that memorial service was held in this church. I was a young pastor. And I remember being in the room as with the family as the rest of the congregation in this gym was packed with people, absolutely packed. I remember being with the family, and of course, it's a time of the depth of grieving is hard to even relate to. And I remember specifically seeing the devastation and the pain on Kate's face in that room, wondering if she could even get through the door and into the service. But it was an unusual service, and that there was a full worship set. And somewhere during that service, as I stood on the front row, I looked over and I had to almost rub my eyes because there was Kate dancing at the front of the service. Dancing at the memorial of her daughter. How on earth? I tell you, it wasn't natural. But somewhere in the middle of that service, she made a decision. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. Somehow in the middle of that service, she reached beyond the temporary into the eternal. She reached into the future. She saw a day where they would be united together. She saw the Lord in victory, and she reached into that place. And what has the testimony of her life been? It's the testimony of Habakkuk. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, able to tread upon the heights. This is a family that's walking in victory. This is a family that's walking still with influence and with impact. This is a family that's reaching the hurting and the needy and the broken. How come? Because they've made a decision. We are going to delight ourselves in the Lord. They've made a decision to find joy on the journey, even in the midst of great tragedy. It was a sacrifice of praise, but it blessed the heart of God because it was rooted in faith that sees beyond these momentary sufferings into the glory of God that is yet to be revealed. Church, when we choose to rejoice in the Lord, when we look for joy in the journey, we will find strength and we will tread upon the mountains that seem to stand in our way. I end this morning with a question. Have you lost your joy? If you have, you need to go find it. Go find your joy. Why don't you stand to your feet with me this morning? Crystal, as I watched your video this morning, I thought, that's your story. It's your story. You worshiped in the midst of your pain. You found the joy in the journey. And look what God is doing through your life. It's been a blessing to have you with us this morning. I don't know what your situation is this morning, but I want to challenge you. Begin to say, Lord, where's the joy in this journey? Have you lost your perspective? Do you need to take delight in the Lord? Why don't we do that this morning? Let's just come before God in prayer as we close today. Father, I pray this morning that this simple truth would resonate deep on the inside of us. God, I confess to you that looking for joy in my stress is often the last thing that I do, and not the first. But God, I pray that you would help us to be a people whose perspective is rooted in the eternal. I pray that you would help us to be a people whose perspective is rooted in the fact that we have a victorious one who lives in victory every day, that's invited us to come into his presence every day where there's fullness of joy, to live and abide with him in that place of victory. And Father, I pray that we would be a people that in every season of life would know how to say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and let all that is within me bless his holy name. Father, I pray that we would be a people who are constantly looking for joy on the journey. That we would be a people who would choose to bring the sacrifice of praise. Father, there is joy available to us. It's found in you. And I pray particularly this morning for those who've been really struggling with depression, those that feel like they've been oppressed of the enemy, those that have been discouraged and wallowing in despair and in confusion. I pray even right now, Jesus, that you would come and fill them again with your Holy Spirit. I pray even now that joy would begin to spring up on the inside. I pray that even now that grace would come to make that decision. I'm going to rejoice. I pray, God, that there would be a shifting in our thinking, that we'd begin to look at these trials and these opportunities as an opportunity for great joy. Help us this morning, oh God, to walk in this level of victory. Lord, where the enemy has been beating us up, where the enemy has been holding us back because we've bought into the bitterness, because we've bought into the confusion, because we've bought into the hopelessness. I pray today that there would be a spirit of victory that would arise within the people of God. I pray that there would be a shaking off of those things that hinder us, those weights that so easily beset us. Lord, may we be a people that are filled with the joy of the Lord. Lord, may this house be known as a house that's full of the joy of the Lord. A people who know how to praise God no matter what. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.